I'm going to have you stand this morning. I want you to take your Bible. I want you to go to the Gospel of John. We're going through the Gospel of John a little at a time, and we've covered the first two chapters. And I want you to go to chapter number three. Chapter number three of the Gospel of John. I hope this is a familiar portion of Scripture. It's Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to him. And he's speaking about being born again. But when we talk about the themes that we're looking at as we go through the Gospel of John, it's a theme of individuals that Jesus talks to along the way and dealing with the very issues that go along in our lives and how he works on those issues and how he corrects the issues that we have. In chapter number one, you recall that Jesus is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in chapter one, we find that Jesus being spoken of being the very Word of God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? In chapter number two, we found him performing his first miracle, the marriage at Cana. And so we see that taking place, and then he cleanses the temple as he starts his earthly ministry, that first cleansing of the temple there before his 3 years of preaching to the world, okay? So now as we come to chapter number three, we find that he comes across another guy named Nicodemus, who has some issues in his life. And I want to read here the first 21 verses. Many of these verses are in red, and so the Lord Jesus is speaking here, okay? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our words or our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man that hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And so, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest or made known that they are wrought in God. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for these words. Simple words. But the theme of this is you must be born again. Born from above. And so, Father, we thank you for your words today, that it might touch some heart in this room today. Maybe there's an individual, a young person or older, that has never come to the realization of who Jesus Christ is, the lover of our souls, the savior of our lives, the giver of eternal life. Father, thank you that we have this opportunity and we have the ability and, Lord, the gift to be able to read your word today. We ask all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Obviously, as we read this chapter, Jesus is doing his divine teaching. He is called the divine teacher. Nicodemus brings him that way. But when we look here, right off the bat, the scripture says in chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Okay, a ruler of the Jews. You know, when we look at this individual, then right off the bat here in verse number 1, we find about his character and how he comes to the Lord Jesus, this individual. First, he's a ruler. He's an individual that has power. He has a position. He's probably one of the Sanhedrin, which is like our Supreme Court. He's a judge. And so he's an individual that is somebody. And we see him here, and he is religious. He's a Pharisee. He adheres to all the Mosaic laws as much as he can. And so that very strict Jewish law, he tries to adhere to it and all of that. And so he comes then, but the thing that I like about Nicodemus is he's real. He's real. He's coming with a concern for his soul. He's coming with that concern for his soul, sincerely wanting and searching. Apparently, he has seen the Lord Jesus do miracles. He's heard him speak. He has seen some of the things that he has done. And he mentions there, he said, no one can do the things that you do. No one can do these miracles. You have to be from God. God has to be involved in this. And so he is truly desiring, I believe, peace in his inward life and in his soul. He is searching for something. You know, there's a lot of people today that are searching for something and they don't know what. They're looking for peace in their hearts and in their lives, but we'll never find it because they'll never find it unless Christ comes into our lives. He is the Prince of Peace. And so we find Nicodemus here, and the scripture says he came to Jesus by night. Oh, some Bible scholars say he comes at night because he's a fear of criticism. Maybe the other Pharisees that he's involved with would criticize him to come to Jesus, because they don't like him. But no, I don't think that's the case at all. In my opinion, I think he's coming tonight at night to talk to the Lord Jesus because he wants an uninterrupted communication, because he really wants to know in his heart and his life about how he can get to glory. You know, that's an interesting thought, isn't it, in our lives? When we ever come to the place in our lives where we really want to know how to get to glory. I remember when I was 8 years old, I was a young boy, 8 years old, and my family, we would go to church, and I would go to the New Discovery Baptist Church, and there were two ladies there, Jean Zirkel and Irma Augsburger. They had graduated from Cedarville College in Ohio, and they had come and they had pushed the weeds back from this little church that had been closed for many, many, many years. The New Discovery Baptist Church was a church that started in 1834. And I don't know for how many years it had operated there in that little community of New Discovery where I live, but it had grown to disrepair. And those two girls, two college graduates, came there and they cut down the weeds all around the New Discovery Baptist Church and they started church. And when I was 8 years old, I had started going there. And I came to the realization in a little class called the Jet Cadets. That was the title of our Bible club at that time. And they shared with us on, I think probably it was a Wednesday night we had the meetings. And they shared with us, you know, you need to be born again. And there were several of us in that group. Brenda, at that time, Smith and her family were there. We were all about the same age. And several of us accepted the Lord Jesus that time, at that day. Not too long after that, my dad came to the Lord. I got saved before he did. And not too long after that, my dad was baptized, and I went and was baptized over in Clinton at the same church at the very same time my dad was. And so this idea then of being born again is not something that's new. Jesus says this to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." But if you notice here in verse number 2, the reason I say he's real, he's a real individual with real desires to want to know spiritual things. Listen in verse number 2. He comes to Jesus by night and says unto him, "Rabbi," which is a statement of praise. It's a statement of a position. He says, "You're a teacher that comes from God," and said. So he says, I give you this respect. You're a teacher, a high respect, and the realization, I believe you're sent from God. I believe you're doing those things and the miracles that you do. No one can do these miracles that you're doing except God do that. And so we find him here then, but he comes short, doesn't he? All of that he says here about Jesus does not call him Lord or God, does it? You're a teacher? You know, that's not anything that's not changed today. You know, as well as I do, people today will accept Jesus as being a great spiritual individual. They'll claim that he's a great teacher and maybe one of the master teachers. They'll claim that even though they believe that Jesus existed historically, they don't claim who he is really. And that's the way Nicodemus is here. You're a good teacher. You're a miracle worker. I believe you're sent by God. But he falls far short of who Jesus truly, truly is. You know, religion, and that's what Nicodemus had. He has religion. He has religion. But religion is something that is always added to Jesus. Religion. Christianity is not a religion, is it? Christianity is a personal relationship with the Savior God. He knows us, and we know him. There's a personal relationship. But religion always adds something, doesn't it? Religion always has to have something added on to Jesus Christ in order to sound full. Add baptism, add confirmation, add church membership, add communion, add speaking in tongues, add all kinds of works to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, none of those things was what Jesus told the thief on the cross, was it? Not any of those things did the thief on the cross do, and yet Jesus said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Not any of those things. You see, Christianity being that relationship to religion, Jesus is never enough. But to you and I today who name him as Savior and Lord, he is absolutely everything, isn't it? He's our all in all. We don't need to do anything else except believe on his name. And that's all. And so when we look there in verse number 3, Jesus gives Nicodemus a challenge. In verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, now notice, Nicodemus does not tell why he has come. Jesus already knows why he has come. He knows what's in his heart and in his life. Nicodemus doesn't ask him a single question. Jesus then gives Nicodemus a challenge in verse number 3. And he answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or of a truth, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus knows what's in his heart. He is coming and he is searching. How can I really get to the kingdom of God? How can I really? You know, here's the thing this morning. Every single one of us in this room want to go to heaven, don't we? If you don't want to go to heaven, you're mentally ill. You're mentally deficient. Because there's two places. Heaven and hell. Hellfire. Hell is a place of fire that is never consumed. Eternally burning. Now, I believe in heaven. I believe in heaven as much as I believe I got up this morning and was able to get out of bed. Heaven's a real place for real people, and it's a prepared place for prepared people. But so's hell. It's a prepared place. The only thing is God had prepared it for the devil and his angels. Hell was never prepared for man. Hell is only the place for those who deny Christ. And so when we look at verse number 3 here, Jesus gives Nicodemus that challenge of a truth, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That's what Nicodemus is wanting. I want to make sure I go to heaven. How many of us this morning want to make sure we go to heaven? I know I do. How do you know you're going to go to heaven? There's only one way. We know Jesus is the only way, but there's only one way to know that you're going to heaven. It's what this book says. It's what God's word says. We're going to find that John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. And so when we look here, he gives Nicodemus this challenge. Jesus already knows what he's searching for. And he tells Nicodemus, his religion isn't sufficient. Your religion isn't sufficient. Religion never saves. There's not a religion on the top side of this earth that saves. And there are many religions. The nature of the new birth. And notice what he uses there. He said, except a man be born again. You know that puts a division. That little word, except. It means it's an imperative, there's no other way. Except we go by God's way, there is no way to get to heaven. Jesus tells him this, except you be born again. Well, Nicodemus comes up. Well, I don't know how old Nicodemus is. I'm going to say he's probably in his 50s, maybe even older than that. And he says, can I enter again into my mother's womb and be born again? She's probably already passed away. How am I going to do that? Jesus says, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, that is flesh talk. And he says, that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit. He said, I'm talking about spiritual things. Except, or that imperative, no other way. God's way, or there's no way. Acts 4:12 tells us this, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name. It's Jesus. And he tells Nicodemus, well, Nicodemus comes up there. If you look there in verse number 4, Nicodemus says that. How can I enter again into my mother's womb and be born? This confusion, confusing spiritual things with physical things. Salvation can only be understood through spiritual insight. We will never understand the new birth or being born again in physical terms, because it's spiritual terms. Spiritual. You tell someone today who has no idea about Jesus Christ or being born again, say you must be born again, they think you're crazy. You know why? Because it's spiritual terms. And my Bible tells me over there in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him. I think Nicodemus was standing there that day and he said, boy, this is foolish. How can I be born again? How can I be born again? I'm going to take it this morning that each and every one of us in this room was born once. Is there anybody in here that was not born? Okay. It's 100%, isn't it? God tells Nicodemus here, you must be born again. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, the scripture tells us, and you hath he quickened. And that, you know what quickened means? It means to be made alive. Okay. And he says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're dead to God. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We've been born into this world physically, into a world of sin. And the only way that you and I can ever get out of this world of sin is to be born again spiritually. And the term born again means born from above. In other words, God does it. God does it in our lives. And Jesus clarifies in plain terms in verses number 5 down through verse number 13. He says, that which is born of the water. Look at verse number 5. Jesus, verily, verily, I say, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, now, many say you got to be born of water, and many think that this is baptism. It is not. It's not baptism. And many say, well, this is a natural birth here. You're born of water. You have that water sac around you when you're a baby and you come. That's not what he's talking about either. Jesus says here in verse number 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go to the little book of Titus, chapter 3. Now, Titus is right before. If you go to Hebrews and turn left, you're going to come to the little book of Titus. It's right. You got Hebrews, Philemon, and then Titus to the left. Okay? I want you to see what he's talking about here, being born of the water and of the Spirit. Okay? in Titus chapter number 3. So here's what I want you to do. When you write in your Bible, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to John chapter 3, and where it says water in verse number 5, I want you to underline that little word water. And out to the side, I want you to write Titus 3, 5. Okay? Titus 3, 5. And we'll find out what Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus hereabouts. Okay? So if we go to Titus chapter 3, if you'll turn there now, right before Hebrews, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, and you go to Titus chapter 3, and you go to verse number 5. Here's what we have here. Born, remember, born of water and of the Spirit. In Titus chapter 3, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Okay, now I want to stop right there. What are works of righteousness which we have done? Well, baptism is a great work of righteousness. It's following and being obedient to God. It's a work that's done. But notice it says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Church membership, that's a work of righteousness. I believe every believer ought to be involved in a local church that preaches the Word of God. Okay? Communion is something that we do. We partake of communion. It's something, it's a righteous work that we do. But it's none of those things that saves, okay? Now, let me read the whole verse. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. How? Okay? How did He do it? By the washing water, okay? By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is what he's talking about, being of water and of spirit. Now, I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Okay? 1 Corinthians. This is very important here. So, and let me just say that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 13. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Baptism. What is he saying? Every single individual who comes to the knowledge of being born again from above, and that Spirit endeavor which saves our sin-sick soul, is baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ immediately. You see, the scripture says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, there is only one baptism. One. You can look it up, Ephesians 4. You can read it and you can find it. There's only one baptism. And it's right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's Jesus Christ. And so we find here that Jesus in John chapter 3 is clarifying this in terms that Nicodemus can understand. Born of the Spirit, born of water. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His Spirit, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you look at verse number 6 and verse number 7 here in John chapter number 3, Jesus says, this is the imperative. Nicodemus, you must. You must. You came searching. I know you came searching. I can read your heart. I can read your mind. I know what you're wanting to know. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Let me just say this morning. I assumed you raised your hand today and you want to go to heaven too. But you and I will never get there unless we're born of the Spirit, born from above. It just will be an impossibility. Born from above. Born of the flesh is one thing. Born of the Spirit is something else. You must be born again. What does it take to be born again? John 3:16. Realizing that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you and I would put our trust in him and believe who he is for the salvation of our souls, for the forgiveness of our sins, we believe that you're saved. You're saved. You see, only Jesus can change us spiritually. How many people today think they can change themselves? Find it over and over and over again. Well, I'm really trying to live the Christian life. I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm doing better. Don't you think, Jack, I'm doing better? No, I don't think you're doing better. I know you're not doing any better because there's not a one of us in this room that can successfully live the Christian life. Not a one of us. Not single. No one can live Christianity successfully. We can't do it for one day. There's only one person who did, and there's only one person who saves, and that's Jesus Christ. And he says, let me live my life in and through you by faith. Let me do it. I did it successfully. In verses number 8 down through verse number 13, let me just read those again. Jesus mentions this. He says, the wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh or whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, here's what I wanted you to know. I don't know how the Spirit of God works. I don't know how it all comes about. I just know it's real in my life. I just know the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, God did something in me that will never, ever, ever, ever fail. And I have a promise of him that one day, his word, not mine, his word says, today you'll be with me forever and ever. That's John 3:16. John 3:17 says that God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was me. That was me. And he says that he that believeth on him is not condemned, or no condemnation or judgment. But he that believes not. God has already determined the individual who does not believe in him is destined for hell. God's already set that into plan. It's already there. Condemnation. But Jesus uses this word here, wind, describing how the Spirit works. Any of you ever been in a tornado? Any of you ever seen a tornado personally? Okay, some of you have. Okay, the interesting thing... storm chasers. How do they know where to go? Well, we got a lot of intellect now in this day and age, and technology can kind of tell maybe if you got the atmosphere in a certain parameters and the temperature is a certain case and you get the, I don't know, barometric pressure drops and stuff like that. You can kind of predict where they are, but they're strong. Any of you ever see a tornado? No, you have not. All you see is the destruction and what's in it. Can you see? The only time you can see the wind of a tornado is the fact that which it has picked up. we can see the results. And the same thing is true for you and me. I'm told that a tornado is deafening. It's like the sound of a freight train going through. I hear that a lot. I won't have you go there, but in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 37, God tells Ezekiel, the great prophet, in chapter 37 in the Old Testament book, he took Ezekiel out there to a valley of dry bones. Dry bones. And the scripture says they're extremely dry. And here they are, all of these bodies that have rotted away, and all they are parched, dry bones. And God asks Ezekiel, the prophet, he says, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says this, Lord, you know. And God says to Ezekiel, watch what I can do. And that scripture in Ezekiel 37, and God says he breathed on those bones, and those dry bones became to rattle and shake and came together, and those bones. And he says, and I put skin and muscle on those bones. And he says, and I breathed into them again. Oh, this is October and it's Halloween, right? It's not about Halloween. It's about what God can do in our lives, just like those dry bones who came back to life there in Ezekiel 37. He does the exact same thing with you and me. He breathes into our lives spiritually, and we start to live spiritually before him. But until we do, we're no better than dry bones laying in a valley. You see, that's what he's telling Nicodemus here. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. We don't understand it. I won't understand it until I get to glory. Here's the thing that I do not understand. I don't know why he saved me. I don't know why he saved you. It's not because of us that he saved us. My Bible tells me that I was saved before he ever created this world. Before he ever put the stars out there, he knew me and saved my sin-sick soul. That's my God. Nothing about me would make him desire to save me. The only reason he saved you is because of him, not you. In verses 14 down to 17, Jesus explains the future by the past. He tells the wilderness experience there in Numbers chapter 21, those that were bitten by snakes, and he said, because you've murmured and because you've complained and because you can't stand, and I've fed you with manna and I've given you quail to eat and I've given you everything you need, and yet you still complain, complain, complain. And he sent fiery serpents into that nation of Israel and they bit them. And Moses goes before the Lord and he says, Lord, I'm the intervener here. I'm coming to you. What can stop this plague of fiery serpents that are biting the people? And God tells Moses, what you do? You take a snake and you make it out of brass and you stick it up on a pole. And whoever comes and looks up at that snake that has been bitten will live. But let me tell you something. The snake is Satan himself, and the snake of sin has bitten every single one of our lives. And Jesus made this statement, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And he was lifted up on a cross. And he says, if you will look to me, Satan's snake bite of sin that has affected every single individual who's come into the world can live. Can live. But not only just live, but live forever with God. You see, in verse 16 through 18, as I quoted there, God's plan of salvation, John 3:16, 17 and 18, simple plan. Just believe. Believe and live. Believe and live. It's selective. Whosoever. Whosoever will believe in him will live. And what a promise. You won't perish but have everlasting life. God's mind is made up, isn't it? God's mind's made up. You believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. John 3:36 tells us that. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Let's stand this morning. You know, it's an interesting little communication endeavor that Jesus has with Nicodemus. Simple, unexplainable, at least as far as Nicodemus is concerned. I don't understand it, how to be born again. I can't explain it either, except that the Spirit of God does it. If we call upon his name, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, well, Jack, why do you keep saying that? Why do you say that all the time? You gotta be saved. You gotta be saved. You gotta be saved. Because most will not accept God's invitation. Most won't. You see, you don't get to heaven by coming to church. You don't get to heaven by being in a certain family. I mean, my kids grew up in my family. I was a preacher, and they're not going to get to heaven because dad was a preacher. No. I'm not going to get to heaven because my dad's a preacher. And you're not getting to get to heaven. I remember one time, as I was at work one time, and one of the kids that or guys that I had shared the Lord with, and he was talking to another guy. He said, yeah, Jack saved me. No, I've never saved anyone. I haven't even saved myself. God doesn't. All I do is believe on him. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's pray. Father, thank you today. This scripture brings back memories, brings back realization, and brings back the idea that we must be born again. Father, I don't want any young person in this room today to go to hell. But I'm sure that not every young person that comes through the doors of the Bridgeton Baptist Church has ever. All of them have come to the knowledge of who Jesus is. I don't want that to ever happen. I want all. I don't want any old person in this room to be able to say one day, I never heard. No one ever told me. Jack, why didn't you tell him? Or why didn't you tell me? I don't want that to happen. So, Father, I just continue to read your word and share your word, and I just thank you that you allow me to do it. Father, dismiss us. And if there's an individual in this room today, give them the courage to just say, Jack, I'd like to talk to you. And I'd love to show them. It's the same words that I spoke today. We must be born again. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.